Hi there, welcome to the brand new episode of Clan Chat, the official podcast of Glasgow Clan, bringing you the exclusive interviews from behind the scenes at the club. I'm Craig Anderson, and in this edition we look back on last Saturday's 3-2 win at Fife Flyers, and look ahead to the two games this weekend that sees Clan head for both Belfast and Cardiff. We get to know Lyndon Springer and find out more about how he ended up in the UK and with Glasgow Clan. We get the latest from head coach Zach Fitzgerald as he reflects on his first games from behind the bench and looks ahead to what's to come. Free Sports commentator Aaron Murphy joins us to share his insights into this weekend's opponents Belfast Giants and Cardiff Devils after seeing them at close quarters in their recent CHL games. And we catch up with former Clan goalie Chris Holt, and he looks back on his time with the club. We've got a special treat to announce as well. All this and a Clan conundrum too. This is Clan Chat.
Hey, Purple Army, Fitzy here. Welcome to the podcast. Enjoy.
Time for the Clan conundrum, which I'll leave you to think about for the remainder of the show, and I'll reveal the answer before we finish up. Clan play Belfast on Saturday in the Challenge Cup, and it will be the first meeting of the new season. Last season, Clan scored 31 times in the 10 games between them, with 12 players all scoring. But which player scored the most goals for Clan in games against Belfast? The answer will be revealed at the end of the podcast.
Hey, this is Matt Hayward, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Clan only had the one game last week as old rivalries were renewed as Zach Fitzgerald took his team to Kirkcaldy to meet Fife Flyers, looking to bounce back after the two losses to Dundee Stars. Bragging rights stayed with Glasgow as Clan won 3-2 to claim their first Challenge Cup points of the new season in front of a bumper crowd of 2,598 in the Old Barn. Clan surged into a three-goal lead as Mathieu Roy and Chad Rau both scored on the power play on 26 and 28 minutes respectively, added to by Scott Tansky early in the third period with a short-handed goal, and it seemed to put the game out of sight. Fife hit back with two quick goals from Danik Gauthier and Tim Crowder to cut what seemed to be a comfortable three-goal lead down to a nervy one. Clan held on though as Patrick Killeen between the pipes made 44 saves. I caught up with the head coach Zach Fitzgerald earlier this week to talk about the first few weeks of the season, and I started by asking him about how much he enjoyed his first victory.
Oh, it was a blast. It's always a great atmosphere. It's like a playoff atmosphere, really. You know, we went in shorthanded, and I thought the guys played really well. You know, I asked a lot of them, you know, three lines and, you know, 5D, and, you know, Mac jumped in there and mixed in with the guys, and it was great all around. I think the guys did a really, really good job, and, you know, we get a little bit of adversity at the end there, and the guys handled it really good.
Obviously, the two games against Dundee didn't go according to plan. Did you feel you needed this victory against Fife?
I mean, yeah, of course, we needed a victory for sure. But, you know, looking at video from Dundee, you know what? We didn't play that bad. The score lines really did not do justice for our team. And, you know, that's what everybody sees, so it's hard to argue. But, you know, it was just little things, little habits, and we went over it all week, and I harped on it, and the guys responded well. They were committed, and they worked really hard, and, you know, I think it showed in the Fife game. But, you know, in hindsight, we would have liked better results against Dundee, but, you know, it wasn't 6-3. It wasn't 7-2 games. It just really wasn't. You know, credit to them. They took their opportunities, and they scored on all those opportunities, and we ran to a hot goalie as well. You know, we had a lot of really good opportunities, and they just weren't going in for us. So, you know, credit to them, and, you know, us as well. I think there was a lot of good things, and, you know, I told the fellas that, and, you know, we looked at some video, and once again, we responded very well against Fife.
Now, you're working with the guys almost on a daily basis now. Are you starting to see a bit of chemistry come together in some of the lines and between some of the guys?
Yeah, I mean, I like the lines, and I think, you know, a lot of people would have expected me to change them. I think, you know, some lines still need to get used to each other a little bit and you know, find their pace. And otherwise, I think, you know, Laporte, Waugh, Peacock played really well. I think they, you know, there is a quite a good dynamic there. You know, the D pairs, I think we might see some different D pairs. We're obviously short with Craig, but, you know, Tansky is a great player, and he can play forward in defense, and he's committed and he's excited about it, and we'll have him on the back end this weekend. I don't think Craig is going to be available, unfortunately, but you know, it's a great quality for a player to be able to move throughout the lineup, and yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's a big test this weekend, so I'm excited about it. And you know, like, you know, your initial question there, yeah, I think the guys are gelling, and you know, Rasmus Bjerrum's back in town, you know, the new daddy on the scene, and he's excited, and we're all having a good time.
I'm glad you mentioned the weekend too. Big and huge tests coming up. You take on Belfast on Saturday and then a trip to Cardiff on Sunday. Both teams obviously have been involved in European action in the CHL. How big a test is it so early in the season for this Clan team?
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, they both those teams have done very well in the CHL, and that's great for our league. And, you know, it's very competitive teams. You know, I think that... like you said, it's a good test for us. I think we'll have, it's going to be tough with travel. It's going to be a very, very high demanding weekend. Once again, we're a little bit short, but, you know, we've got guys coming in, and, you know, we might have some young men with us. So I'm not sure at the moment, but no, I think the guys are up for the challenge. I think, you know, the competitive nature of our team is going to be just fine. I think the guys are ramping up and excited about it, and I can't wait to get out there.
I take it you've maybe seen what you can of them on television through those European ties that they've played in. What do you make of them both Cardiff and Belfast?
Yeah, I watch when I can. I've, you know, been watching video this week and trying to prepare the fellas in the right way. And you know what? They've got a bit of everything. You know what? They've got some really good players with some great resumes and pedigrees. And I think... like I said, it's going to be a really good test for us. I think that, you know, Keith does a good job, Lord does a good job, and you know what? I think it shows the level this league is at. I think that the way that these guys are playing in the CHL will open some eyes as far as the European, you know, view of our league goes. And for us, it's about, you know, doing the little things and getting rid of those bad habits and playing our hockey. You know what? I'm try not to think about them too much. It's more about us and to, you know, get our thing going and, you know, find our identity. And couldn't be a better couple of teams to play against here.
Now, you've played in the CHL, and I know, speaking to other coaches and other players that have played in the competition, there's a certain difference, certainly in speed and certainly the way you tackle these games. Are you hopeful that there's maybe a European hangover from both teams when you play them?
Well... yeah, sure. I'll take it if that's the case. But no, I think in the past, yeah, it's because you're ramping up against these, you know, the top European and Scandinavian teams, and you know, it's highly competitive. It's very fast. It's, you know, guys with, once again, great resumes. It's a great event or you know, place to be seen as far as a player and exposure, and credit to Belfast and Cardiff, they've done very well and they're showing up well for us as a league. But I don't see them playing much differently than they would in our league. I think obviously the refereeing is a little bit different, the calls are a little bit different. You know, the style of play as far as the other teams is different than what they would see in our league. There may be an adjustment period for them, but like I said, it's about us, and you know what, if they have that hangover, sure, we'll take it.
And just finally, it's been a few weeks now, you've had a good few games under your belt to get used to being a coach, being behind the bench. Are you getting that feeling of helplessness that you can't be on the ice to help the guys when things are a little bit tough?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as everybody saw with Dundee last weekend, I took that very personally, and yeah, it's hard to see things like that happen. But you know, we have the guys in this room, and they all care about each other, and they all, you know, they're already showing that they care about each other. And I think, yeah, for me, it's definitely been an adjustment. I learned a lot last weekend. I learned a lot, you know, this past weekend, Fife. There's a you know, quite a learning curve for me, but I'm definitely settling in, and it's becoming a little bit easier as far as comfort-wise and preparation. And making sure I'm doing the right things. And it you know what? I've been around hockey my whole life. And for me, it's been pretty natural to be in this position. And the guys, like I've said before in previous interviews and whatnot, have given me great support, and I want to do my best for them. And I think that, you know, they're reciprocating as well. And, you know, we're really coming together as a group. The guys care about each other, like I said, and they're helping me learn. You know what? They're helping me learn a lot, and I appreciate that. And you know what? It's going to make us all better at the end.
I'm Scott Tansky from the Glasgow Clan, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
The head coach, Zach Fitzgerald, talking to me on Clan Chat. Looking ahead, Glasgow Clan have two tricky trips this weekend when they head to the league champions on Saturday, Belfast Giants, as they look for more Challenge Cup points. Then they head straight to Welsh capital Cardiff to take on the Devils, the team pipped to the title by the Giants in a dramatic finale to last season. Both have been heavily involved in the Champions Hockey League in the early part of the season, with mixed results for both of them. Cardiff at present are top of their group after getting two wins over Graz 99ers and a home success over Mountfield, although they did lose the return game to the Czechs. Belfast have only one win so far, coming against Bílý Tigri Liberec in an enthralling 5-4 game, but were narrowly beaten 3-2 by Augsburger Panther before losing both away games to the same opponents. Now, both sides are back in domestic action for the first time and will be expected to be among the honours come the end of the season. I wanted to know more about the two sides, having made some changes to their personnel, and who better to ask than Free Sports commentator Aaron Murphy, a friend of the show, who has seen them in action in their European adventures so far. So I wanted to know what the biggest things he's taken from what he's seen of Adam Keefe and Andrew Lord's sides.
Oh, the speed. I think both Belfast and Cardiff look fast in the Champions Hockey League. Well, you have to look fast in the Champions Hockey League if you want to compete, don't you? So one of the things I noticed on both sides is their speed forward into the offensive zone. They can catch teams in transition. So I think if Glasgow are going to be successful, stand up at the blue line, don't allow, especially some of the forwards for Cardiff, really, really looking speedy. And then someone like Charles Longley, he does what he wants with the puck. So, I mean, he's back again. But some of the new guys look good, and I think they've recruited very well. And obviously, as you know, as the Cardiff Devils go, so does Ben Bowens. And Ben Bowens has been immense in the Champions League. So I'd expect him to be good on the night. So Glasgow are going to want to get some traffic in front, easier said than done. Belfast were really good in their, you know, this is their debut in the Champions Hockey League. And they go out, they get a win on home ice. And then I think they were unlucky to lose their second game in overtime. I thought that they had won in the dying stages on what looked like a deflection from Bobby Farnham. But that's the way it goes sometimes. And I think they were a bit unlucky on the road because they had a suspension to their captain and they had two import D down, but really battled hard in Augsburg. So, look, these are two teams that are fast. They've had some really good competition under their belts, so won't be easy for Glasgow.
But is it the right time to get them because they've been playing at they're a higher standard, that there might be a little level of adaptation required to get back into the domestic game? Could it be a good time for Clan to play them?
Well, I mean, if you're Glasgow, you could look at it that way and hope that they're thinking, well, you know, you hear these things about, oh, the in the past, the CHL hangover, like when Nottingham was beating the likes of Mountfield and Burn, and then you have to go and play, you know, on a Saturday in something a little bit lesser than the Champions League. You could look at it that way, but I think both teams, I mean, one of the things I took away is both teams seem to have recruited well, but I think they've learned from past Champions Hockey League teams, and for Cardiff, they've learned from their past involvement. I think both teams will be ready to go, and certainly, I don't know if it's a great time to get them if you're Glasgow. I mean, you could look at it that way for some psychological edge, but I think both Belfast and Glasgow are going to want to take what they've done so far in their group stages, or Belfast and Cardiff, rather. They're going to take that into Glasgow, and they're going to want to translate that into league and Challenge Cup success.
And, of course, looking at the Giants, of course, it's the Challenge Cup. It's a competition they've held for the last 2 years, so it's important for them to get a good start in that competition.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as I know, the suspension to their captain only applies to the Champions League, so Pellet should be in the lineup. So that's a big addition for them. I thought Shane Owen was magnificent in Augsburg as well, so he's going to be tough to beat. And he'll want to prove that he's as good as Beskarwani, right? And that's a good point by you. They're the title holders, so they're going to want to get that account open. And I think it's coming together nicely for Belfast. I think they were a little bit unlucky in Augsburg. I think they were lucky at home against Augsburg to lose in overtime. So I think they'll be raring to go, Belfast.
Is it too early to judge the Belfast and Cardiff teams now compared to the teams last year and the levels of success they had?
I think it's probably a bit too early because, I mean, if you look at the Giants, they lost a lot of guys through retirement and whatnot. So they've got some guys that are new to the Elite League that are going to have to learn about the difference between the Challenge Cup and the league and conferencing and all that sort of stuff. Or not necessarily conferencing, but you know what I mean? It's different. Like, you know, a lot of the Canadian guys will be thinking, well, you know, what is it, the league, the playoffs, the Challenge Cup? So there's always an adjustment for guys that come over. I think they'll be just fine, the likes of Liam Reddix and stuff, although I'm not sure what happened with Reddix. He didn't seem to play a lot against Augsburg in the dying moments, so that could be problematic for the Giants as well. But I think it's probably too early to judge Cardiff and Belfast on what they can do in the league, but I'm fully expecting both teams to challenge for trophies.
Now, I know you're a busy guy, Aaron. You've been obviously following the CHL. You're back doing SHL and the KHL as well. But I know you're all over the Elite League. What have you made of Glasgow so far in their early games?
Well, I'm delighted that Coach Fitzgerald got his first win in the Challenge Cup there. I mean, it's tough when you've stepped away from playing and all of a sudden you're being judged on something else. And I think it was important. It might have been a tough weekend against Dundee, I believe, but it was a good road victory in Fife and Kirkcaldy, a tough place to play. So delighted that Dak Fitzgerald got that first win. But also, I think if you look at this year for the Clan, a guy that was really impressive to me in a really bad situation, and no disrespect to Milton Keynes, but let's be honest, it was a bad situation. Killeen is a really good goalie, so I think that's a real upgrade between the pipes. And Zach Fitzgerald, I believe he had 40-plus saves in Kirkcaldy, Killeen. So, I mean, I think from what I see early on, the goaltending is better. I mean, the coaching is probably a little less experienced. Obviously, Pete Russell, heavily experienced. So they're going to have to find their way a little bit. And I'm sure, though, I mean, Zach Fitzgerald, he's an experienced player. He played, you know, at the highest levels. He had an NHL game under his belt and all that. So he's going to bring a lot of different ideas because he played at a higher level than Pete did. So maybe it's a good situation. I think it's a good situation. I know Zach well. I know he's an intense guy. But I think they've really upgraded the goaltending. And we all know that if you don't have a good goalie in the Elite League, you're in trouble, whether it's Challenge Cup or league play.
And we know as well, you know, looking at the players that Zach's brought in to the Clan this year, these two games, I would say, are probably going to be a big marker on where they fit into the league as a whole against these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, it came down to the last day of the season, didn't it? And Belfast weren't even playing. They were at their season-ending banquet, and Coventry do a job against Cardiff. I think everyone had thought that was going to be, you know, a victory or whatever for Cardiff. So both those teams, down to the last minute of the season, were in the title race. So make no mistake about it, Coach Fitzgerald and the guys in purple, they know this is definitely a big marker. They've had some good battles against Scottish opposition, and now they're going to go up against what was the two best teams last year, although with different rosters. So, yeah, it's a great measuring stick for Zach Fitzgerald to see what he's got in that locker room.
And you know I like to get you to put your neck out there, Aaron. How do you see the two games going this weekend with Glasgow going to two very tough places?
Yeah, I mean, Challenge Cup. I think Belfast, because they've got such pride in the Challenge Cup, it depends on the injuries that might have been sustained in the last game in Augsburg. But I think if Pelich is back, and like I said, I don't think his suspension translates to the Elite League. I think it's just in the CHL, so he'd mix a game against Luleå in October. So if Pelich is back and they've got a full roster, I think it'll be tough for Glasgow, and that's no disrespect. It's just because sometimes it's tough to beat the defending champions, especially when it's their first game. So I think Belfast will probably be too much to handle in that one. Cardiff, I mean, Cardiff, that's your point earlier about maybe Cardiff thinking, oh, we've done so well. We're in top of Group H. We've really played well coming off that victory in Graz. So maybe Cardiff could be nipped if their mind isn't on the Elite League and if they're still thinking about that magical Saturday night in Graz. So I don't know. If you could go 1-1 this week, and I know it's two different competitions, but I think Zach Fitzgerald would be happy with that.
And before you go, Aaron, just as I speak to you, what's coming up on Free Sports? What can we look forward to from you and Paul Eady coming up?
Yeah, there's lots going on. I mean, you mentioned it there, the KHL, of course, next week. We've got plenty going on. I think our first SHL game is September 19th, so Thursday, September 9th, Frölunda versus Linköping, so a good look at the defending CHL and SHL champions for London. Next Tuesday, I've got HC Sochi versus SKA St. Petersburg. And, of course, the Elite League highlight show is coming up every Thursday. And then if you look forward to October, you're talking about Cardiff and Belfast. October 8th for Lunda v. Cardiff, 5 p.m., and Belfast v. Luleå, 7:30 p.m. So the Champions Hockey League gets back underway Tuesday, October 8th, and that's all live on Free Sports. So you can check freesports.tv for all our hockey listings, but plenty of SHL and KHL until we get back to CHL October 8th. And then, of course, we've got our first EIHL game is October 30th. I believe it's Fife v. Belfast. And the methodology behind that is basically all the way through mid-October, we've got Cardiff and Belfast on combined 12 times. So 12 games featuring EIHL teams through mid-October. And then we start in earnest October 30th with our EIHL coverage. And this year we have the Challenge Cup final as well. So it's going to be an exciting year. So again, check freesports.tv for all the hockey information.
Hey, Clan fans, Pigmoo here, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Free Sports commentator Aaron Murphy giving us the lowdown on Glasgow Clan's two opponents this weekend, Belfast Giants and Cardiff Devils. Returning closer to home, we're now going to chat to one of the members of the team for the new season and get to know them a little bit more, as well as get their own take of their experience of the Clan so far. Lyndon Springer joined us from Manchester Storm this summer, where he spent the last two seasons and was considered an important part of Ryan Finnerty's team in that time when they finished second place two seasons ago, but slipped out of playoff contention last season. Only 25, he's had a varied career and experienced some different places along the way. So when we first started our chat, I took him all the way back to when he first discovered ice hockey.
It was probably my dad. We always had a rink right by our house where I grew up. So I was on the ice pretty early on, probably around 3 or 4. I played with my brother when I was 4 years old, and kind of, I guess like every kid in Canada does, they fall in love with it and you play for as long as you can, and I guess I was lucky enough to have it be a career, so here I am.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. When did you realize the possibility of it becoming a career? When did that come into view?
Well, I think early on, everybody has aspirations of going as far as they can and having it being a successful career for them, but I guess I decided probably around 14 or 15 that I probably wasn't a person that was going to be making the NHL. So I had different goals. My goal has always been to try and get over to Europe and play hockey over here. I had a few family members do it, and it's always seemed really appealing to me because I like to travel and see a lot of different places. So that was always my goal. So I tried to bring different aspects of my game around to suit the European style a little bit more. So, I went to university, and it became an option through a couple different contacts to come over here. So it was kind of lucky, but I guess every situation is. So, yeah, was able to get to England, and, yeah, hopefully I stick around here for quite a while.
So, I mean, before you went to university, you played for all manner of teams. Lloydminster Bobcats was the team you were at, Brooks Bandits as well, before you went to university. What's it like, though, to be asked by someone to come and join their team and, you know, be part of something?
Yeah, it's, in any team that you go to, it's always that feeling out process, seeing what the coach wants from you and seeing what role you fit into. For me in Lloydminster, it was my hometown, so that was really cool. I got to be a captain there, my hometown team that I grew up watching as a 20-year-old, and being the kid who was looking up to the guys coming into the schools and giving talks to becoming that guy and going and seeing the kids was always really cool, and that was kind of a humbling experience for me. And getting to live at home and play in front of friends and family was really cool. And, you go into a new team a couple different times and things change and your role changes and you have to be able to adapt and be able to adapt to the team, how to play, and adapt to the city, the situation, and your lifestyle. You know, you go from living at home with your parents to living with billets to living on your own. So there's a lot of different aspects to it, but that's all part of the fun, and it's all part of the lifestyle.
Now, the penalty minutes column is always fascinating when you speak to certain players, and particularly certain types of players. And I'm looking at yours just now, a couple of seasons where you got over 200, certainly high hundreds and things like that. Is it fair to say you're a player that, how shall I put it, likes to take care of himself on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, earlier on there, like those numbers you're talking about on Junior, yeah, I was a little hot-headed in Junior, for sure. So, yeah, a lot of that, it's from trying to prove yourself and sticking up for your teammates, and sometimes that transpires into some penalty minutes and stuff like that, for sure. But, yeah, it's one, like, I look at penalty minutes as something you always want to keep down, but at the same time, it's, I mean, I guess it's like a trickle effect, right? So, from me dealing with penalty minutes right now is probably an effect from when I was 20. You know, it's just like you go and you get your penalty minutes in one league, and you go and then you go to another league, and then everybody looks at it, and always a penalty minutes guy, so everybody's watching. And but yeah, it's something that I'm conscious about, and everybody's conscious about that I play with. So it's not a great feeling when you're in the penalty box all the time, especially when you get scored on or you put your team in a tough situation. So it's something that you try and handle and keep down, but it also comes with the role and how I play the game, which you want to manage, but you can't completely wipe it out of your game. So,
but there's also the worry as well that reputation will precede you for any future moves as well. They might look at you and go, ooh, he's spending a lot of time in the penalty box, might not be the player for me. Is that always a concern?
Yeah, it is, for sure. And, you know, that comes with the territory, I guess. I don't know of too many guys in my position that have low penalty minutes. So, I mean, obviously I'm a little bit more than most. And, you know, like I said, it's something that I am trying to keep down. And, you know, it's the bad penalties that hurts. So timely stuff is all right sometimes, you know, if you have to stick up for somebody, or if it is what it is. So but yeah, it's the bad penalties, and it's the overall number which you're trying to keep down.
You mentioned university earlier on. It was a couple of years at Lakehead University. What was it you were studying there, and again, the ice hockey element, what was it like to play for their team?
Yeah, I took business when I was there. I actually dropped out after my second year. I had a few classes fall through for technical reasons, and didn't make sense for me to go back and continue on. It just wasn't a passion of mine, and so I wanted to come play professional hockey over here. But it was cool. I got to play with a bunch of my friends that were from my hometown, from teams that I'd play with in junior, and got to be in a cool city. It's a different part of the country for me. I went from Western Canada to Eastern Canada, and I loved it. It kind of broadened my horizon to seeing a different part of Canada, and I got to go to some of the bigger cities quite often, which I was really interested in, and it was a new place for friends and family to come visit when they came, which is always nice. And yeah, it was, I think it matured me quite a bit, having to deal with balancing hockey and school at the same time. And that was something I think is still very beneficial for me, even though I didn't finish out my university career. But yeah, a lot of stuff that I kept with me that still use today. It's just different stuff, like managing your time and having to, I mean, go to class when you're dog tired after practice. It's nobody wants to do it, but you have to do it. So, yeah, it was a good life experience for me.
So from there, you moved to Manchester Storm, your step into pro hockey, and moving to a team with Ryan Finnerty as the coach. Ryan, of course, well known to Clan fans. What was that first season like? Finishing second place in the Elite League. That was quite a year for you guys.
Yeah, that was a really fun year. I don't know if you could have a better experience your first year coming into pro hockey. I mean, you're in a pretty great city of Manchester, and we had a really good group of guys. We had a lot of fun. They were great to me from start to finish there. I was taken care of pretty well. and have made a lot of good friends, and a lot of the people around the organization I still talk with today. So it was a great year. It was a lot of fun. We seem to be winning a lot, which that always attributes to your mood around the rink and your overall time that year. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, just a lot of good memories from that year. And, you know, we came up a little bit short, but it was nice. It felt like we had that underdog title all the way until the last game. So it was nice to be near the top of the table and experience a lot of good wins against a lot of good teams.
Very different last year. Missing out on the playoffs obviously would have hurt yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's this league's growing, and I mean, apart from the top two teams who seem not to change very often, any team can win any given night. So at the same time, I think we were four or five wins away from being in fourth, fifth place last year. So the league can go anyway, and as soon as you start to drop a few games or win a few games, the table seems to change almost every weekend. And you know, we slumped at the wrong time. I'm not saying we were going to be a high-end team last year, but I think a middle-pack playoff team wasn't too far to reach for us. But yeah, we seem to lose a few key games down the stretch that ended up hurting us quite a bit, and we ran into a few hot goalies, but that is what it is, so you can't dwell on it too much.
Then, of course, the move to Clan this summer. We spoke, obviously, when you first signed for the club, and that interview's still there on the Clan Chat, the locker room. Early season form, the two losses to Dundee, but you got the win against Fife, and you're about to head into two tough games at Belfast and Cardiff. How much are you enjoying the experience of the club so far?
Yeah, it's been amazing. Everybody's been super welcoming. We have a really great group of guys in that dressing room. We have a ton of leaders, which I think a lot of different guys could have worn that C this year, which is always something that you want to have in your dressing room. So it's been honestly very easy to blend into this group. It's everybody's super accommodating. Everyone's really excited to play for Fitzy. It's exciting for him. It's exciting for us. So, about Dundee, I think that's just one you have to sweep under the rug. I mean, we had a lot of guys that got in late. We only had a few practices, but those are just excuses at the end of the day. But, I mean, you look at Fife, I think we dominated that game from front to back in their rink, and they're all over us, their fans, that whole night, which you can expect. So to go into that barn, and apart from a couple power play goals, I think that was a kind of an end-to-end domination from us. So I think that's something you have to build off of. And when you're playing on the road this month and we have this tough schedule like we do, you have to be able to build off stuff like that. So when we go into Belfast, Cardiff this weekend, I think we have a lot of confidence going in there. And I think we're ready to put some wins together here and have a nice little road trip.
I'm curious because there's already been some comparisons with Fitzy, the style of play he had. You it might be fair to say, or maybe along the same mould as well. Is that something you've had aimed at you? That kind of thing where I think Fitzy's even said it as well. You're a player kind of in his image.
Yeah, I mean, I play with an edge, for sure. But I mean, I'm not going out there looking to fight like it's. It's edging its way out of the game. So, I mean, if the situation's there, then that's all right. I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, like, it's been 3 weeks here, and it seems like every conversation I have with someone is, when are you fighting? It gets old. But, you know, like, I'm here to play, and I'm here to be an attribute to my team, and I don't want to be in the penalty box the entire season again. So, you know, my goal is to be the best defenseman I can for this team and to help my team win in any way I can. And, you know, a lot of the time fighting isn't that way. But if you have to, I mean, there's a guy like Fitzy that, you know, you can learn a lot from, and the way he plays. And, I mean, you look at him last year, he only fought two times, but his presence on the ice was more beneficial than having to fight. So I think that's something that I myself can learn from, and a lot of guys can learn from. So It is what it is, but yeah, I'm looking to be a good player for this team.
And finally, just referring back to the chat we had when you first signed for the club, we spoke about your scrap with Josh Grattan last year when you were playing for Manchester, and a slight worry about the fans' reaction to you. I think they've been pretty good with you so far.
Yeah, I mean, they're passionate, and you knew that coming in. So, and you know, if they still didn't like me when I came here, I think I wasn't doing a good job or being nice to them when I came on arrival. So, yeah, I mean, it's all part of the game, and luckily that was able to be swept under the rug, and that's just style of play, and that comes with the territory. So. Yeah, I mean, you're doing it on their side, and you're doing it for them now, so hopefully you give them something to cheer about every now and then, and, you know, if it comes time where a new guy comes in, I'm sure they'll be welcoming to him too, but yeah, it's been great. Everybody's been very welcoming to me, the fans, the organization, so I cannot have enough good things to say about it, so I've been really pleased and really grateful for everything about the whole start of the year.
Hi, I'm Matt Poofall, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
Clan's defenceman Lyndon Springer telling us all about him. Our final guest of this week's podcast is a former player, and being honest, my favourite interviews for Clan Chat, and this time I caught up with ex-netminder Chris Holt. Holtsy spent a year in Glasgow in the 2015-16 season, playing under Ryan Finnerty and arrived with an impressive CV that boasted NHL experience in 3 years in the KHL, including being part of the All-Star team in the 2011-12 season. He arrived in Glasgow for the Champions Hockey League campaign and became a fan's favourite during what turned out to be his final season as a pro, from which he hung up his skates. We spoke about that CHL campaign that saw Clan travel to Europe to play Växjö Lakers in Sweden, a memorable night for Chris, as well as the trip to Germany to play Ingolstadt. But I started by asking him to sum up his time with what was Brayhead Clan.
I'd say it was everything that I hoped it was going to be. You know, I came to Brayhead knowing that was going to be the last season that I was going to play, and I came there for, you know, a few unique reasons. I had had, you know, while I enjoyed some great success in the years leading up to that, whether it was in Russia or, you know, some of the other leagues I was in, I really wanted to get back to a year where I didn't feel like I had to struggle the whole year in my life away from the arena. You know, there was obviously a lot of North American guys on the team, and even the local guys were English speakers, you know, all accent aside, I could pretty much understand what they were saying. You know, Finner was a Canadian coach who I knew who he was, and it's just, I was looking for that kind of experience. You know, I wanted to get back with people that I knew that I was going to have a really great time playing the game, and who probably played the game like I wanted to play it. And I was going to be in a place that I really enjoyed living and experiencing that kind of culture. So it lived up to all of that. I really loved all the guys that we played with, and I really enjoyed playing for Finner. I really enjoyed, you know, Gareth and the organization. And most of all, I really enjoyed my time in Scotland.
Give us a reminder of the guys you shared the locker room with that year. That, from what I remember, there was a lot of good characters in there.
Oh, God. I mean, and you know, I only know them by nickname, you know. So we had, you know, we had Keither, you had Mizey, you know, you had Barry McKenzie, and, you know, of course, Gary Russell and I became very close. You know, Nathan McKeever and the list really goes on. A lot of the guys that you'd probably consider putting up on your wall, you know, you had the exact character of people that I really enjoyed. I thought that that Keither was a great leader, and I enjoyed having him as a captain. And I thought that he preached a lot of the things that, you know, I hadn't heard for a while. You know, he preached playing tough, and he preached, you know, a family and a brotherhood, and, you know, when you play in some of these other countries, some of these other leagues, it's, you know, kind of a lot of everyone for themselves, and The locker room guys were fantastic, and it all was kind of summed up by having Finner as a coach and how much I respect him and what he did for Brayhead and how he led us. I think if you talk to a lot of the guys that were on the team at that time, either most of us came there or stayed there because of Finner. So I can't say enough about the teammates I had and the coach I had.
Now, you mentioned there you went into the year knowing it was going to be your last year as a pro player. Retirement was coming. But you speak so warmly about the guys you played with, the friendships that you built. Did you ever at any time think, you know, maybe retirement not just yet? Did it ever cross your mind?
Not really. I think that there's something to, you know, and I have friends that are still playing now and are even in the NHL and are thinking about retiring and, you know, they're kind of hanging on. And I think there's a certain level of peace that you get when you exit the game on your own schedule. You know, I didn't play long enough for the game to turn its back on me and say, you know, Holtze, you can't do it anymore. You know, I finished either at or very close to the top of the goaltending table, and you know, our team had a pretty successful year in a playoff system over there. Things end very quickly, and that's unfortunate. But I felt that we had a tough start, but a successful year. And I have a lot of peace knowing, you know, that I left the game when I wanted to. And the body, you know, my knees and that was a bigger problem than most people realize. And it was kind of an everyday battle and an everyday, you know, it was an everyday thing that I had to deal with. And it was time to go. Whether I wanted to keep or not, it wasn't. I'll tell you this story. I retire there in April, and then it's Christmas, and I'm in Arizona. So I've been out of the game for 8 months or so, and I'm just playing golf down in Arizona, and I take a golf swing, and my left knee just explodes, and and it's to the point now where the surgeons won't even do anything. That, you know, I need a double knee replacement, and they're trying not to do it till I'm 40 years old, which guarantees six more years of pain for me. But it's I wouldn't have made it, you know, even if I wanted to keep playing, and if I had stayed in Brayhead, I wouldn't have made it through the season. So in my eyes, I left it at exactly the right time, and I was able to leave while I was still able to play and play well. And I mean, I like knowing that I probably could have come back if I wanted to, and I have a lot of peace knowing that I left the game on good terms and not because nobody wanted me anymore.
I remember your very last game, the playoff game. I think it was against Fife Flyers, and Clan had lost in the manner that they did, and you know, you applauded the fans, that you knew that was you. Did it feel sudden, the fact that Clan had suddenly gone from losing the game to all of a sudden the career was all over? Did that emotion just come rushing to you at that point?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think you can, as much as I tried, I don't think that you can mentally prepare for that moment. And it was, on one sense, an extremely sad, you know, situation. But if I'm being honest, there's a very small sense of relief too that it's over. You know, it's something that consumes your entire life, and while it is something that you do, and it's something that you love to do, you know, hockey for all of us at you know, once you get into your 30s, hockey for us has been a business for a long time, and it's one that beats you up. And as sad as you are, you know, that it's over, the hardest part was stepping off the ice. You know, I think that was the hardest part for me. But once I took the step and started walking towards the locker room, I think it was, you know, the relief kind of started setting in that, you know, maybe I wouldn't have to, you know, spend every day in pain anymore. Maybe you wouldn't have to, you know, maybe now I don't have to spend so much time away from my kids. you know. So it's that you get a lot of a relief, but the hardest, the most difficult piece of the whole thing was, and if you, I don't know if it's on film, but I'm sure I stood there at the door for a second, because I think the hardest part is just taking the one step off of the ice when you know it's going to be the last time.
Now, let's take you back to the very start of that season, and the Clan were involved in the Champions Hockey League, the first and only time the Clan have been involved in that tournament. A huge step up, I think you'll agree, and that very first night in Växjö in Sweden. What was your memories of that night in particular? As I recall, quite a tough night for the team.
The one in Sweden, I mean, we hadn't been together very long. And I mean, it's no secret that the Swedish Elite League is, you know, I would put it up there fighting for the third best league in the world. So you're in the Elite Ice Hockey League in Britain, where you're not really known for producing the world's hockey talent. And you're going into an environment full of, you know, guys that had played in the NHL and had NHL contracts and, you know, some of the best European players there are. And I think it's it was no surprise that we kind of got run out of. I don't remember the final score. Did it get to double digits?
10-2. We finished 10-2.
Yeah. You know, tough start for me in the, in the league. But, you know, that's a situation where it's not, I mean, it wasn't even fair. I mean, that's not there was nothing that we could do. There was no amount of preparation that was going to get us even, you know, even close to that. But I think it was a small wake-up call, and I think that when we went into the next two games, you know, I think you saw as much fight as you saw in those games was as much as we had. Mm. You know, we obviously won. We won the one game at home, I think, against the German team, right?
That's right, yep, Ingolstadt, yep.
Yeah, we won the game, and even the game away, do we play at Ingolstadt too?
That's right, yep.
Yeah, so we even that game away, I mean, God, that game was close for a long time. I mean, we were hanging around that game, and, you know, the German league is, I consider a very good league, and it's got some fantastic players in it. You know, but it's not the Swedish league. So I think we immediately felt like, hey, okay, we just got, you know, pummeled by the Swedish team and not just a Swedish team, but a really good one in that league. And now we're in Germany where we might have a little more of a chance. You know, we got a lot of guys that maybe have played in that league before or had opportunities to play in that league. And, you know, and it showed. And I think we had a little more fight and we lasted really well into that game. I think we got in some penalty trouble, I think, and we ended up kind of letting it slip away on the penalty kill. But then when they, you know, but I think when we left that game, we felt that when they came to us and when they came to our rink in Brayhead and with our fans and the energy that they were going to give us, I think that was one that we felt that we had a shot, you know, if we could keep it together and not get in trouble, I think that we had a shot to win, and then obviously we did. And you know, let's not play down that. I mean, first of all, Bruce, he scored an unbelievable goal. That really got everybody fired up. I know you said not to bring him up, but I brought him up. but I'm praising him. He scored an absolute, the goal of the year maybe for him. And that got everybody really believing early that, okay, well, you know, we might be in this. And then it also helped that there was, I don't remember the situation, but they pulled their goalie when it was maybe a one, I think maybe had to win by two, or there's some goal differential thing that they needed. I remember we scored a goal or an extra empty net goal that really kind of relieved the stress of the situation that I can't remember the whole scenario. You guys over there, you guys do such weird thing with like aggregate scores and all these like weird things where like there was a situation where we scored an empty netter and I couldn't believe the goalie was out. And, you know, we won the game, obviously. But to sum it all up, you know, such a great moment for the club, such a great moment for the league. And I think that winning that game, and I don't know the history of the league being in the Champions League and any other success. Did Sheffield win a game the year before or anything? Like, was that the first Elite Ice Hockey Champions League win?
Nottingham played the year before. They beat Hamburg Freezers in one of their games as well. They beat a German team also.
Okay, so it's, I mean, that win by Nottingham and then ours against Ingolstadt, it just gives your league a little bit, it gives it a little bit more respect. And even just winning a game like that can entice a player who's thinking about coming to that league to pull the trigger and go. Mm-hmm. And strengthen your league. It has a ripple effect, you know, that can last several years because you win, you know, you win a game like that, and maybe somebody from the Ingolstadt team goes, oh, you know, this league might not be a joke. You know, this might be a real legit, you know, real legit league that I'll think about going to. And it strengthens your league. So, I had a great time playing in it, and was really happy to have the opportunity to play in the Champions League, and I was really happy we could get a win for Brayhead.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Springer, and you're listening to The Clan Chat.
Former Netminder Chris Holt talking to me about his year in Glasgow. Now, I know exactly what you're thinking. He didn't ask about his friendship with Gary Russell, he didn't ask about his favourite moments, or bring up the Chris Bruton incident, I hear you cry. Well, you'll be pleased to know we're keeping it all for the special edition of Clan Chat, which will be released on Monday, where we'll play the full interview, all 35 minutes or so of it, in a standalone podcast. So make sure you've subscribed to Clan Chat via Apple Podcasts, Audioboom or Spotify so it downloads to your device. Believe me when I say you will not want to miss the full uncut interview with Chris Holt, coming this Monday.
Hello, it's Jordan McLaughlin here and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That's it. Keep up to date with the Clan by checking out the website, clanihc.com, or by following us on social media, by liking the official Facebook page, or follow on Twitter and Instagram at clanihc. That's the handle. You can subscribe to Clan Chat on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Audioboom, and if you do, new episodes will automatically download to your device. My thanks to my guests this week, Zach Fitzgerald, Aaron Murphy, Lyndon Springer, and Chris Holt. And don't forget the uncut Chris Holt interview, which is coming on Monday. My final thanks go to producer-in-chief Stuart Priest and to you for listening, and we'll return very soon. I'm Craig Anderson. Bye for now.